All right, so picking up with this Gemara over here on Daf Vav Amud Beis, basically the issue of Matana Almanas Lahachzir. And the Gemara in the Maskana is of the opinion that Matana Almanas Lahachzir basically works for all those cases discussed other than Kiddushin. And the reason why it doesn't work for Kiddushin is because it has some close association with Chalipin, which maybe we'll take up as a separate discussion, Machlokas Rashi and Tosos, what exactly the association with Chalipin is. But the question is exactly how far does this go, that with an Amatana, Amanas Lahavzir, you can't be Makadish. Right? You can't be Makadish for Matana, Amanas Lahavzir.
What were the words again?
Matana,
yeah, gift.
Almanas Lahavzir. It's given on condition to be returned. Almanas Lahavzir. Okay, so just by way of Chazara, we saw two different approaches to understand how Matana al Manas Lahavzir works. This is a guy going back last week and before Yantef. So we saw basically the approach of the Ritva over here, and the Rosh in Masechah Sukkah maintained that a Matana al Manas Lahavzir is basically a Hakna Gemura. It's a, actually, Dr. Day, you have the ritual there? Just pass me the Kovitz, if you don't mind, for a second. I'll read you the Lashon of the Ritva, but basically the ritual is of the opinion that it's a real hakna, right? It's a real sale, and it simply creates a separate obligation on behalf of the recipient to also do a real hakna. Let me read the Lashon inside. Mihu, Matana Amanas Lahachzir Hakna Gemurihi. I give Levi a gift, and I say, this is yours. I'm giving this to you as a Matana Amanas Lahachzir. Let's just say I use that language. This is yours. I'm giving it to you as a Matana Amanas Lahachzir. So the Ritzvah says, in such a case, that is his. Mamon Shalo, belongs to him. Ukeshe Marziralo Hakna Gemurah Boy. But when he gives it back to me, has to be a real sale. I gave it to him as a full-fledged sale, and he is required to give it back to me and to sell it back to me with a full-fledged haknah. Like all other haknos.
What do you mean, sell it back to
me? I mean, give up all rights to it. When you give it to me, you give it to me with all its rights, and when you give it back to me, I'm sorry, when I give it to you, I give it to you with a full kinyan, and when you give it back to me, you give it to me as a full kinyan. All right? Like all other cases of haknos, it has to be no strings attached, basically. That's what the Ritva says. It's given to me, you're fully divested of it. When I give it to you, I'm fully divested of it, and you're required to give it back to me. Oh, we said, so how does that work? If you are required to give it back to me, doesn't that mean that I still own an interest in it? No. We said, really, I gave that to you, that belongs to you. We have an external condition that runs outside of this agreement that says that you have to give me something back in return for this thing. It happens to be that this very thing is the thing that I gave you, right? But it could have just as easily been something else. It doesn't take away from your bias over the object that I gave you.
So what makes you have, what does give you bias? Because you're not going to use it, you're not going to be able to, even though it's an external condition, you're still practicing, you're still not going to be able to do with it the same sort of things that you do with an actual, something that's actually used. So how exactly are we defining balance?
Good. So what do you mean? Why can't you do everything that you would normally do?
Well, I mean, you can't sell it.
Huh?
You can't sell it to someone else.
You can't sell it to someone else.
But
why not? Why can't you sell it to someone else? Only because of the condition.
So your use of this object is limited. So how are we defining balance if you're
using it? That's just saying it's only accidentally limited. It's only limited because to destroy it or to use it in a way that would exceed the condition would make the condition impossible. But it's not because I gave you anything less than 100% bias. And insofar as your ownership is concerned, I gave you a full kingdom. Now, you have a problem because outside of the kingdom, you have a condition that you have to satisfy. We'll see how it plays out in a minute. Maybe in a practical setting. And the other position was the position of the Ketzos. The Ketzel says, no, that's not the way it works. I don't give you a full hakna, right? I don't give you a full kinyan, and then you give me back a full kinyan. No, I give this to you for a limited time. This is yours for a limited time. This is yours until you finish your mitzvah, and then it automatically reverts back to me. It automatically comes back to me. The Ritva said specifically it doesn't work that way. The Rosh said specifically it doesn't work that way. It doesn't automatically come back to me. And the Rosh says if it automatically came back to me, then what? I should be able to give a child a lulav and a sirga on the first day of Yom Tov and say, here, this is Amatana Amanas Lahafzir. Because what are we worried about? We're worried about the child getting it back. So if the child doesn't have to give it back, right? If the child doesn't have to give it back, then who cares? Why should there be a problem? It reverts back to me automatically. That was the Rosh's time. The Rosh brought that as a raya for his understanding of Matana Almanas Lahafzir. How does the Rosh know that a Matana is a full Hakna and a full Hakna in return? He says that's why a cotton can't do it. I could give a cotton. Cotton can be cotton. Cotton can't be Makna in return. Right? So how does the Ketzos answer that? Ketzos answers that by saying, you're right, in a Hanami. In some cases, cotton will be able to do it. Cotton will be able to do it. The problem was, we're worried about in some cases, that the cotton will simply be given the object, sort of what we call stam, without the proper language, without the proper stipulation, and then the owner, the gadol, won't be able to get it back.
But cotton can't be the cotton object?
The problem is, according to Gemara, that cotton can't be makna. Right, it doesn't have das to be makna. He only has the ability to be kona, but he doesn't have das to be makna. There's another requisite das to what to give something up.
So you can have, sometimes he can have a das and sometimes he can't?
No, I want to say really he would have the, he could, according to the Ketzos, he doesn't need the das.
He doesn't need the das,
where I set it up as a matan al-salaf, so he doesn't need that. He doesn't need the das.
Oh, he needed the das for when he's coming. Then that das.
He has the ability to be kona. Everyone agrees he has the ability to be kona. He does not have the ability to sell. So the question is, how can I give him the lulav of an eser on the first day? So the Gemara says, you can't do that. So the Rosh says, you see, you can't do that because the way this gift works is that he would have to sell it back to me. He'd have to give it back to me. He'd have to be makna back to me. And he can't do that. But the Ketzel says, no. If I give a gift to you and I say it's time-based, it's a gift, it automatically ceases to be yours and goes back to me automatically. You don't have to sell it back to me. You don't have to give me a, make a kinyan back to give it back to me. So if that's the case, what about the case of the cotton? Why can't the cotton just take the lulav? No problem. And then when he finishes using it, it will automatically revert to be mine. He says, yeah, you're right. It could be done that way when the language that the gadol uses is proper, but sometimes the gadol won't use the proper language, in which case even the initial taking won't be with the understanding that it's a matana amunasas. I mean, it'll just be like a stam kinyan, in which case it won't end. It won't cease to be his. Right, that's a detail. But those are the basic two sides in terms of how to understand matana amunas lahasir. Those are two theories. Why matana amunas lahasir works. Now, what's interesting is the following. Yeah, Dr. J, this is yours. I'm going to give this back to you. Not amunas lahasir, but this is yours. Well, right?
Except the switching of words.
What?
Except the switching of words. How is this really different than lending something?
Okay, good. That's a good question. That's the rush. The rush gets into that very question.
You have to get it back. It's a lending. It's a yours to yours, but you're responsible for it. And if he gives it to him, he's still responsible for returning it intact. So the mamashis is the same thing.
Good. So let's hold off on that for one second. We'll bleed that when we get back
and
to that.
And a child will understand a lending, and he is able to lend something, to borrow something and give it back, but he can't do it on his own.
Kenyan can't do it. Good. So the Rosh, in this tshuva that we were looking at before, quotes one of his Rebbeim, it seems like, it's Rabbeinu Avigdor, who says like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see that part of the Rabbeinu Avigdor yet?
Yeah.
The matana amanas lahachzir, he says you could return a matana lahachzir, even money. What does that mean? So let's say I give you an object, and I say here, this is a matana amanas lahachzir. He says you can give me the monetary equivalent. But the Rosh argues, and the Rosh quotes his again, another kadmon, another rishon, the Baal Itor. The Baal Itor says, no, you can't, you got to give, this was a question that you raised a couple of days ago, right? I lend you my lawnmower, can you give me back money in return for the lawnmower, right? So I say here, this is yours for X amount of days. It's yours. I tell Levi here, this is your lulav. Can you give me back $100 instead of my lulav? Yeah, I gave you, this is yours, but on the proviso that you give back to me. And then, later in the day, he gives me back $100. $75, however much the lulav esser cost. Right? So the Arin Avigdor, as cited by the Rosh, seems to say you could do that. The Rosh says, no, Baal Itor specifically says you can't do that.
That doesn't look like the person who makes a sale and or like they'll grab something and says, now you just sold it to me and I'm giving him what it's worth.
So let's...
It's like a Rosh.
Well, let's talk it out. Okay, let's talk it out. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Mishnah Brura has the following case. This is Tav Reish Nun Ches Daled.
You can't do it because you need the lulav for the rest of the holiday, or that's just the rule? It's like the same thing with the lawnmower.
Well, what do you mean? What's a good nafkamina to what you're saying? What Pesach is asking is, that would it make a difference if I have another lulav? Let's say I have two lulav, right. Two sets of Daled Mina.
No, well, that make a difference? Say with the lawnmower. Like, your guy lends you a lawnmower and you give him back $1 million.
Right.
So,
listen to this case. Nosnalo amanas lachzir. Shulchan Aruch says, you gave someone your lulav and eser to use amanas lachzir. Hareze yotze bo yidei chavaso umachziro. I give Levi lulav and eser to use for the mitzvah. He's yotze the mitzvah and he gives it back to me. Umachziro. Shemasna amanas lachzir. Shmei matana. Sorry, shematana amanas lachzir. Shmei matana. Vim lochachziro. Let's say he doesn't give it back to me. He's not yotze. That was the condition. Va'afil nosnalo as domov. Chaver says, even if he would give me back the money, va'afil ne'enos miyado, something happened while I was in his position, v'cheni mechziro la'achaz man, mitzvasa la'yatza. Mechziro la'achaz man mitzvasa. Yeah, you gave it back to me some later period of time. Yeah, lo yatzi decho mitzvah of lulav. Right. L'mafreya?
Meaning
you never were mekayim the mitzvah because you never fulfilled the condition. Right.
When you did it, if you were intending to return it, like
it's sort of it's conditional.
Right.
We can't give you a full credit
right.
until you. We compared it last week to the case of Peruvu. Person has children. We're not fully in the state of Kiyam until his children have their own children. It's a Peruvu, right? He still has to wait and see how it all plays out. Same type of thing here, right? You took a lulav, but let's see, did you give back? If you didn't give back, and now you don't say.
Then the
bracha is afraid to make a bracha vatala? It's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make my bracha vatala? Mustama, yeah. Mustama, yes.
And even if there's an illness, then it's a mustama.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I'll tell you like this.
No,
let's say a guy, he shook a kosher lulav. He did a kosher. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure.
Somebody bumps into him, and I guess.
It's hard to say that my friend made the bracha vatala. I don't know.
So it's no mitzvah.
No, because you're right. It's no mitzvah.
You can't have it both ways.
There's no mitzvah. You're saying it would be like a case where a guy makes the bracha, and then he's about to shake a kosher, and nobody speaks in the middle. So he's mastic. It's a bracha vatala. He speaks before he shakes the lulav. Same thing over here. He never really fulfilled the mitzvah. And it's a good question.
Is this only according to is it only holds that like the kinyan manas? Even though it's not an actual kinyan. This is only this.
No, everyone holds this is even according to the side that holds matana. I'm not slacker. It is a good matana.
You're still not yotze.
If you don't give it back,
even though you had a full inside full.
That's right.
How does that?
That goes back to again that matana. I'm not slacker. This is like the certainly according to the ritual. This makes sense. It's a full hakna, but there's a condition that you give it back. There's a full hakna, but there's a condition.
So while you still have the full hakna, you're shaking your lulav with the full hakna. It is an external condition, so it shouldn't be. Like, I don't understand what you mean.
Look at Rashi's Lashon. Rashi says it's like a schedule, right? What's Rashi's Lashon?
Like it.
What does he say?
It's a cook. Not
yeah,
not
said like, itself, said like. What's his Lashon?
Do
Gezel and Mafreya.
Gezel yeah.
It's like Gezel and Mafreya.
Like, this is Gezel.
So now we have to explain that also. Because when, hey, what do you mean Gezel and Mafreya? When did I do the Gezel? right? When did I do the gezel? Did I do the gezel when I took it from you, Bershus? So there's gezel mafreya. Retroactive, it's like I stole it. And therefore what? And therefore I couldn't be yotzei with it, because I didn't have it Bershus. It's a unique situation. Well, let me just go through this case. You'll see how far this goes, and then we'll get back into some more of the svara here. But Mishnah Berurah says the following: Shmei Matana, dekeshe Omer Chayfat Zeh Nosam Lecha Nafka Kol Cholchol Mimenu. If I give it to Levi and I say, "Yeah, this is yours, Matana, I'm not going to achzir," I have no more rights over it for the time. Umasha Omer Almanas Sheyachzir Li Hurak Tanoi. This is like the Ritva, like the Rosh. I gave it to him, it's his. I just, there's a condition that he has to satisfy, he has to give it back to me. Any sale or any gift, it could be conditions, right? Subject to conditions. Some conditions apply. This is one of the conditions. But if you satisfy the condition, it's yours. He didn't give it back. Let's say you parceled it, and then you gave it back to me. Also, not good. You didn't give me back what I gave you. I gave you a loaf, you gave me back a piece of palm branch. You parceled it. I feel not lost dumb off. Let's say you gave me the monetary equivalent. The lawn arena was a mali hain, mali demehen. We don't say what's the difference, your lawnmower or, you know, $250. Since I also need to be yotzei the mitzvah with it, that's why I have it. I have it to use for the mitzvah. So I gave it to you so you could be yotzei the mitzvah. But what's the whole purpose of having this? As a chafta shal mitzvah. So of course I want the lulav, I don't want just the money. So that lashon is very important. Since that's the case, I'm makbid, I get it back. But what's the implication there? There's an implication. I'll read it again. Kevon, so Mishnah Berurah says, Kevon, shet sarach lo lotzei sidei chova, bavadai hikbid lo alulav gufei.
In other words, the person who's giving it to wants that particular item back.
Because why?
In order to fulfill the mitzvah.
Because he needs to fulfill the mitzvah.
Actually, he doesn't need that one back. He needs a lulav back. He does not need that particular one back.
Ayin b'mishnah berurah, says the Bi'al Lacha. V'humi lashon apos, kim l'fiza im yesh lo od lulav.
There's an additional lulav.
He has another lulav. If he has another lulav, lotzeis bo, mistarva de mahani, nesin as damim. Hak upon him, hechi de ein hachefetz bo'olam, it's good. Uke ininahu de achen shekana v'chul, im yochol l'ochlo, v'chul, v'chein nir gamkin b'matzo lulav acher, kosher. So I don't give you back your lulav, I give you back a different lulav. Kosher, mehudar. No questions about it, it's kashrus and it's heder. De mahani, de shiv leka umdana, there's no umdana anymore. What was the umdana? That I dafka want that thing back. After Efshe Lomer, the road to Adam Mishalom Mikol Makom, Kevin the Lavach Yish Poskim, the Ben Nisrafel Neva the Chadama, the Nosein Dama the Yotzei. Some say that if it does get destroyed and then you give me money, you are Yotzei. So certainly, in case where I give you back something that's better or just as good, it's good. Ayn Bekobo, the guy moving Berush Besugin, Das Rabbeinu Yishaya, the Muchach Minei Od Yoser, the Benenas Potter the Gamri, the Yotzei Shalokivin Bal Manas. When he says almanas, I give it to you, I say almanas lahachzir. What does that mean? All I meant was kishachefetz ben. But you have to get back to me. But after machaber lo samach alayu, didn't pass in that way. Umash minei da afil domim lo mahani, even money won't help. Afil ba'ones, kemosh akasu mishnah berurah, mikom makom, v'machzir lulav acher, if you give me back a different lulav, kashem huder, after the kuli alam modu. Everyone's going to agree. Mustafa stechem et hevi b'shem. Shem Ari, the Gambaze, Lo Yotza, Vanir al Niestaiti Kasafti. And Mr. Berurah says that, at least in a case where you have a more Mahudar one or a Kosher one, or just as good as Kosher and Mahudar, that'll be okay. So, how does that work out now? Okay, again, the Rosh says you can't give back money, you have to give back the thing itself. The Rebbe Vigdar says you can give money. You could give money. What are they talking about, first of all? What kind of case are they arguing on?
The thing is,
they're talking about an object. They're talking about an object.
They're two different things. If the thing is in existence, you may have to give back the thing. If the thing is not in existence, then, and only then, can you give back the
money? No, the other shittas would say it's not good. The other shittas would say it's not good. You can't. You must give back this thing.
You can't, but when the thing is given out by the giver, originally.
And I say, Almanas lahachzir.
Yeah, but when you give, it doesn't matter, because you're giving something out that's clearly perishable. You're giving out something that...
Giving
that,
me my yeser.
It's gonna...
Giving me my yeser, you gotta give back to me. What do you mean? It's not perishable.
If it perishes, it could rot. What's if it rots in between?
It's not gonna...
What's if a cat bite? I mean, there are certain physical... It's not that you're giving a guy a piece of stainless steel or something like that, which is, you know, it's relatively stable. This is something that we know. How many people, they lose a pitum, they lose on the ice truck. This happens with the top of the roof or splits. These are normal things. Every year you get people give questions like that. So but this is known. These are given.
Well, what I'm asking is like this. When is it, according to the Mishnah Berurah, when is it that Almanas means I specifically expect to get that thing back? When there's a what? What Mishnah says is it talks about the lashon of umdana. When there's an umda, what's an umdana? When there's a presumption, when there's a halachic presumption that I gave that to you and I expect to get that very thing back, right?
It's sure.
Then almanas means I want that thing back. And that tonight is gonna be moneya your performance of the mitzvah if you don't fulfill it.
On the other hand, when you have this lulav that's taken from a short period of time, and we're not concerned about it deteriorating because it's such a short, normal.
Say again, sorry.
It's taken for, received for, and kept only for a short period of time.
Ah.
So that's the other
one
side.
One second, so that's.
So.
I want to try to explain that. So the point to the Ktos. Ktos says the way that Matan Amnas Lahakse works is that it's yours just temporarily. Self-destructs. The Kenyan self-destructs. I give it to you, it's a Kenyan for X amount of time. And that's it. It's not a Kenyan that you have to buy and that you sell back to me. No. I give you a time-based Kenyan. I didn't give you the full force of bilus. And now you just have a condition. That's it. That's the way the Ketos understands it. I gave you bilus for a certain amount of time.
And that's very akin to a loan rather than ownership. Because if I borrow it, I have to give it back to you. And if I'm an owner of it, then I can do whatever I want with it. So we have two, I mean, those two seem to be in contradiction.
But what I'm asking before we get into the details is, how do you, when you see the Mishnah Berurah's comment here, what do you see about the nature of this almanas? Is I get that thing back. Why? Because as an umdana, that's the very thing that I want back. Okay? That's the very thing that I want back. So their argument is, in that case, where I gave an object, like an eserg or something else, so there's a machlokas, do I get that thing back or not? But what about where I gave money? What about where I gave money?
In other words, regular money, not talking about...
Not an object.
Not objects at all.
Not an object.
It's money, not on the lotos.
What's that?
It's given to be
expensive. No, but also on it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, wait, I give you a loan, I assume that you're going to spend the money. You're not giving me back the same money I gave you, you're going to give me back other money. That's a principle. Milvel Altsonin. Good. What I'm asking like this. Why does Matan Amanas Lahachzir work for all those other cases? The Gemara says it works for all the cases. Pidgin Aben, Truma. Works for all those cases. Doesn't work for Kiddushin. Why does it work for Kiddushin? Because it's too similar to Chalitmin. Why does it work in those other cases? Why does it work for, let's say, for Pidgin Aben? Let's take that question. Why does it work for Pidgin Aben?
Pidgin Aben, if he doesn't have those silver dollars, whatever they are, he can pay that the Kohen with something else, with an equivalent. Those dollars are not going to happen. So So therefore, since he's not me'akev, they can just give him whatever he wants, and it doesn't have to be anything in particular going out, and therefore it can be anything coming back. It doesn't have to be. You can take them. You should be able to take anything in return.
What I'm asking like this. Let's take the side of the ketzos, the one that says it's a temporary kinyan. It's a self-destructing kinyan. It's a self-destructing kinyan, and I gave the Kohen money for the Bechor. Right? Pigeon on back. I tell him, yeah, this money is yours, but it's only going to be yours for a short period of time.
So it's not a complete gift.
What kind of thing is that? How's that work? Why should that work?
What, then he gives you back his son?
Huh?
Then he gives you back his son?
Right. You're poor to the son. Right? It's an obligation that you have to be redeemed the son. He doesn't actually take the kid otherwise, but yeah, right. Theoretically. But no, I'm saying, theoretically. Well, that's what the Kohen says. The Kohen says to the father, and look at the pigeon, but he says, my boy is tvei. Which one would you rather have? He says that. Which one would you rather have? Would you rather have this little child, or would you rather have your money?
One day the Kohen's going to get a surprise.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not. There's no Kohen walking out with a baby. No, because according to this approach, it's not a condition. There is no condition.
It's a temporary condition.
Well, what's the condition? You don't have to do anything. It's automatic. It's automatic.
It's, for that time, it's a full $5.
Again, object, you could say that, right? Why could you say that? Because you could. There's something that you have. I gave you something. If I give you money, what do you have? What do I have if I give you money? Yes, no? Is there a difference between the ketzos? Is there a difference between money and an object? The way that the kinyan works.
If we say that money is meant to be used,
good.
Fine. And that is considered to be a matanah l'chatzar.
Oh, forget about that. Start slow. So 1 second. If money, the whole purpose of money is ma'avad l'chatzar nitnah, right? Yes. The whole purpose of lending someone money, the money is his by definition, he does whatever he wants with it, then he has an obligation to pay me back.
You could say right? The same thing with Ololoth, he can do whatever he wants as long as he's getting paid back. And not necessarily with that same love.
Unless there's an umdana they want it back in return.
Okay, then it is a stipulation.
I'm asking to distinguish. Can you distinguish between the two, money and objects?
Yeah, you could say that money is...
Yeah, if you can't put a precise amount on it. If you lend somebody a valuable painting.
Right.
I'm giving you 50 back, 50 bucks back, but it's worth millions. Or you give him another painting, so obviously it's not the same.
That's true too. It'd have to be the same, but money, what do you say about money? Give back the same amount. You know,
instead of a painting.
No, I'm saying money for money.
Money for them.
Yeah, it's all the same.
So would you say when someone gives you money, almanas lahafzir, according to the ketzos, is that what I'm asking is like this? According to the ketzos, who says a matan almanas lahafzir, self destructs, right? Does that apply equally to money and objects, or not?
No.
Why not?
Objects are different.
Why is it different? Because all you have with an object is the right of usage, right? But with money, what are you guys going to give you? Matana manas lahachzir? Here, this is a dollar bill. I give it to you. Matana manas lahachzir. You have to give it back to me. Well, there's no such loan of money. There's no such matana of money. What can I do with it? Put on display? You're not going to do anything with it. The whole nature of giving money becomes yours during the period of time that you own it. Right? Is that fair? So if I give matanah almanas lahachzir to the kohen, or right for the truma or for the pigeon I'm betting, what happens? It's his. If he takes it, it's his. What happens after at some point? Okay, the money stops being his. But it doesn't stop being his because it was a limit. Right? He wasn't limited in what he could do with it. He was entitled to do anything he wanted with it.
He can't do anything he wants with the
other. Exactly. The object is different. The object is different.
And it's not even given for use. It's only given for specific use. You can't use it to hold up your...
That's what I'm saying like this. When the Rosh says you can't give back money for matana amanas lahachzir, he means you can't get back money when you got an object. If you got money, of course you can get back different money. Of course you can get back different money. That no one's arguing in that case. All right. So you got the money as a loan. Amanas shi'asir, money, other money.
What if the person is happy to get the money instead of the object?
In the case of an object,
yeah,
then it would be okay. That's again, Mishabu is only saying in the case of an umdana. Guy wants this thing. He wants that thing. Also, we have certain assumptions in halacha. One assumption is that a person wants his own thing more than he wants other things. In general, a person's things are dear to him. But again, it could be that doesn't apply in a given case. In the case where he has a second lulav, what does he care about this lulav? He doesn't need it. I'll take the money. But all I'm trying to say is like this. That the machlokas of whether or not you give back money for an object is only where the object was what was given, but where there's money, no one's going to argue and say, yeah, you can't get back money. So if that's the case, when the ketzel says that a matana amanas lahachzir is a kinyan lazman, right? It's only a kinyan lazman, and it's a self-destructing kinyan. That's only where what? That's only where there was an object that was given. But money, by definition, is different. The nature of the loan of money that's fully yours. Now, if I tell you here this money is yours for X amount of time and then it's not yours anymore, I'm not really giving you the money. Because the nature of money is different. If I tell you here this is your asset, you could use it for the mitzvah and then you will revert back to being mine. So I gave you the shtamshus of the object. I gave you the limited ownership of that thing. I gave you time-based ownership. But over money, if I can't expend it, I can't spend it, I can't do anything with it, what'd you give me? You didn't give me anything. So that's why obviously the guy expects back different monies. Expects back different monies. And that's what seems like Mishnah Berurah talking about here also. When you say the domim won't work, or ne'enas, it's still going to be chayev. It's not, when is that? That's when there's an umdana shirotza tachefet shalom. But why that's not the case? He doesn't care. He can give back whatever he wants. So same thing when a guy gives money. There's no nafkamina which money he gets back. Yes, no? Is somewhat clear? No? So if I give money to the kohen, right, almanas lahachzir, what am I giving him? He's getting full use. The pigeon and Ben, right? He's getting full use. He's getting for the money. There's another question that's nestled in here, and this is what Pesach was asking about before, and that is, maybe and it comes up specifically in the context of the pigeon HaBem case. But how do we view money? How do you view money in general? The role of money? Where did I say that case was before?
With
Sally?
For a method of transferring value.
Well, there's a famous machlokas here.
I mean, all money today is...
Just give me 1 second. What did I say? It was Reish Nun? Listen to the lady, you're going to like this. You like this. This is, this is a classic.
You don't think it's that real money?
Bitcoin.
What's that?
You said silver coin.
Forget about that for a second.
Oh, real money was worth
Here's the case. Money. Here's the case. You're selling a field for $100. You're selling for $100 and I only have $25. I give you $25 and I'm going to owe you the $75. Okay?
Okay.
What's my right over the field?
Full rights. Full rights.
All right, I own the field then.
That's right. All right, we'll be on $75.
Good. You have a lien on $75. But I own the field fully,
you
right?
Own it fully.
Wait, is that, are we agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I might also look, am I holding the, this is a mortgage on a $75 also? Or not, somebody else's.
Here, let me just go through. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, money works for buying movable objects. Rashi explains what that means.
The person who's selling the wheat has to watch it, and it is a tachana, because people would have things stored and they wouldn't pick them up. But they might not pick them up right away, and they wanted the seller to be responsible for them. Of course, this could be very abusive.
Exactly. Who's going to bear the right of the responsibility if something happens during the interim period?
Especially if the buyer is too lazy to pick it up.
So listen to this case in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Siman Kuf Tzadi. Kuf Tzadi is Hilchos Mekach U'Memkar. Okay? There's two halachas here.
Purchases and sales.
Ein Mekach Nigmar. Bidvarim. Sorry, wrong halacha. Karka. Knias karka bekesef. Karka nikna be'echad me'ar bidvarim. There's four ways to acquire land. Kesef, shtar, chazaka. What's chazaka?
3 years.
Yeah, squatter's rights. So you retain rights of ownership by adverse possession. Right, I'm moving on a guy's property. I put up a fence. I do his lawn. I build a house, and it doesn't say anything, it doesn't kick me off, it's mine. That's called chazaka, and kinyan suda.
But if he actually has the document, he keeps the land even though you've been there 3 years.
I know that thing doesn't have a stronger claim than my chazaka is enough to give me bailus over the field. So I have chazaka, I have shtar, I have kesef, and then I have suda. Suda means, in case of selling a field, I give him a sudar. He picks up the sudar, chalipin, the field is mine, and basically the sudar goes back in my pocket. Okay? Ukidin hamekach, kach din sfiras skarka. Now, listen to this sma. Sma says like this. What do you do? Next halacha. Mechav says, the kesef. How do you do kesef? How do you buy a field of kesef? Ketzad, mocholo bayis of soda. He's selling a house or a field. V'nosin lo kesef o shava pruta, kana. You're selling the field or the house, I give you a dollar, kana. V'ein echad mehem yochel achzabo. No one could back out. Afil nosin lo kesef al menas sheyachzirehu lo kana. Even though I gave you the money, it's money. Here's the money on this condition, you give it back to me, you took the money, it's a good kinyan. Okay?
You're saying that money shows intent.
So look at the sma. Sma is like this. Pachos mi pruta ein chashivas liknos bo. Why does it have to be a pruta? Because it's got to be the smallest amount of money that has chashivas. If I give you half a pruta, it's nothing. I didn't give you anything of value. V'ayri daf kishin nasan lo hashav a pruta al demei ha-pira'on. This is the case of the down payment. Right? The Shema said, this works, I give you a dollar. What do you mean, I gave you a dollar and now I own your house? How's that work? So Shema says that's only true when I gave you the dollar as a down payment on your house. Meaning your house costs $100, I give you a dollar, the assumption is that I still owe you $99. So I give you as a piron, haschol's piron, the hashar zakaf alav bin milveh, a low aisle of a nafik azuzay, Valdarshan is bar b'simin zeh b'sif yud. I'm just going to jump ahead for a second and sif yud. The machabes is like this: Hamocher sadel chaver. I sell you my field. Be'elav zuz, $1,000. V'nasan lo mikzas hadamim. You gave me 500. V'haya yotzei v'nichnas v'toveya shar hadamim. And I keep coming and say, hey, where's my $500? I feel lo nishal lo elav zuz echad. Even now, ultimately, I got $999 from you. There's $1 outstanding. You didn't fully pay off your obligation, right? You didn't pay off the debt. Lo kana halokeh kulo. You don't own, the buyer doesn't own the whole field. Afo pisha kosav shtar, o hechzik, even if you have a shtar, even if there's chazaka. Chazabel halokeh. Then hamokher, yad hamokher al hayona, if the lokeh now backs down, then if he backs out, then the mocher has the upper hand. Rotza omer lo helech ma'osecha. He could give back all the money. Oh, kana me'akarka neged ha'mos shenasata. Or basically, he'll buy the amount that he's paid for. For no selam. Chazer ha'mocher, if the seller was the one that backed out, so then yad ha'lokech ha'lina. Whoever backs out from the sale, the other one has the right to basically be made whole in the way that he chooses. So the smas is like this: when you pay only part of the money, you're still going to have to be paying off the rest of the money. But the initial payment is what he's called haschalas piron. It's paying off the value. That first dollar is paying towards the full value of the field. Aval ein lomar. The lo ayri kan bekesef shenosin b'shvil shivli hamekach al shenosin lo pruta shepruta zu mishtabdu zela ze liknos v'zelimkor v'shein echad yachal lachzer bo dumi dekinin shtar v'chazaka dekinin suder d'zeh eino to hakinin kesef nilmur misdeyafron v'kesef hanizkar misdeyafron hayad demei shivli hasodeh. This is what he's saying. Saying when you give me money for the field, what you have is a down payment. Don't say that giving me a dollar is like a handshake, or like a kinyan sudar, or like a shtar. It doesn't create some form of obligation. It's not just a formal obligation that's been created by the dollar payment. That's not the way it goes. He's saying when you pay a dollar to the field, you've begun to purchase the field. That's the initial payment on the field.
You don't have ownership over it.
You do. You have ownership. You have ownership, again, subject to this whole discussion in Sif. You have full ownership up to a point, right? You have full ownership. Yeah. What's the lashon again? Mocher sadeh chaver be'elav zuz v'nasan lo mikzas hadamim hayoyotzei v'nichnas toveh shah hadamim afilo nishal elav zuz echad lo kana halokeh ches kulo. Well, you didn't pay for the, you didn't pay for the whole thing. What could you sell?
Like, the guy just paid you a dollar, and then I go.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure.
Give you back the money.
Afal pisha kasha hashtar, oh hechzik. I don't know. Chazal b'hal okeh. Let's say that you pay me the $500 and that you want to back out. So I could say to you, heilech ma'osecha, here's your money. Here's your money. Goodbye. Good luck. You don't want to pay me the rest? It's fine. Here's your $500 that you gave me. Get out of here. Oh, no. I could say, or here's half the field. Because I want to get rid of the field. I'm not you. You're backing out. Too bad. You already paid for half the field. Here's your money. I mean, I'm sorry. Here's your field. Goodbye and good luck. I have the right to say that. If the mocher backs down, if I back as a seller, right, then the lokeh could say, no, give me my money, or give me the land that I bought. But let's say I wasn't coming up and back, saying, hey, where's the rest of my money? I wasn't claiming from you the whole time. Then the Mechaber says, "Kan halokeichas kula." Then you own the whole thing upright, up front. Neither one could back out. V'shar hadamim alav k'shar chos. Then you just have a, I have a lien on your property, or on your belongings, or some way that you owe me the rest of that money. You, it's a chov. You have an obligation to pay me that money. I could take you to Bezdin, whatever it is. I could be a Shabbat, you're other Nechasim, but you owe me that money. No one can back out of that, in that case. The only case is where I kept coming back to you and you kept saying, okay, I'll pay you next time, pay you next time. But if I didn't, and I just assumed that you were going to pay me, then I never, I was never Tovei, I was never Yotzev Nechnas. Then you got it all up front with that down payment. But the Sma says that down payment is a piron, it's payment. It's not just a handshake. It's not just a formal sealing the deal. It's much more than that. It's the beginning of the payment. The Taz says, no way. That's not the way it works. He argues on this. This is a famous machlokas. This is what I think you were asking me before, how money works. Because when you pay, when you give a pruta for a woman's hand in marriage, what are you doing? Are you saying that I'm paying, it's like a down payment towards the ultimate value of the woman?
No.
Right? I mean, that's kind of strange. Or are you saying something else? So the Taz, listen to what the Taz says. Taz has a raya that, this, that he argues with the Sma. He says, Mashakasa Sma Sivkanal, the kosher noson, Petoras, very small print over here. If you, you didn't give it Petoras Shivoy Mekach, if you didn't give it as Piron, Eno Kone, Lohivanti Devara. I don't understand what he's talking about. Why? The Hakas of Ramah.
Yeah.
Thank you. The Hakas of Ramah. The Hakas of Ramah. The Omar Ervonai. Kun Kana Hakol. I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about over here. The Oh, yeah, this is the key point. The Hagam Gabi Kinyan De Isha Bekesef. When it comes to Aisha nicknames Bekesef, give a woman a pruta. Now she's nicknames. Nilmod me Ephraim. It's learned that from Ephraim. Story of Abraham Avinu buying the Maris Nachliel from Ephraim. That very thing is Nilmod me Ephraim. Kimal de Omar and Reish Kedushin. Is that Pashat to be Isha with a woman?
What?
Kona Osadar from the Sina Lechud. Lobatir Shivoi. Mashu Shaveh. Ta says, one second. You learn out the whole Kenyan of Ishas with money from where? From Ephraim. Right, so it must be that they work the same way. If you tell me one's learned that from the other, they must be working, or at least similarly. If they're working similarly, right? Are you gonna tell? He says it can't be that the money payment for a woman is shivoy. You're paying value. Pruta is value. Certainly not value. He says it's a mekach. It's a formal deal. They argue over the very way that kesef works. At least by karka. At least by karka they have this machlokas. What you see from this Taz that he says that's the same way it works by woman. You're giving it as a kinyan, as a formal kinyan. Not shivoy, for sure it's not shivoy. What is it? It's a form of kinyan. It's like shtar. It's like kinyan sudar. Derech nesina. The Isha Kona also Darch Nesina Lechud. Lobatar Shivoy. It's a formal exchange. That's it. That seals the deal. She's Mekudeshes. It's like shaking of hands. So if that's the way the Kesef works, right?
Why do they compare it to Abraham buying the food?
Because that's where it's learned out from.
That's what I'm saying. Abraham paid full. And here you're just giving something symbolic.
No, but
I don't see the parallel.
So he's working the other way. He's saying if you, now that you see that the Gemara learns out money is used for women for Kiddushin, and it's learned that from over there. Well, look at the case of Kiddushin. It certainly can't be for Shivoy. Can't be for value. So if it can't be value over here, it's certainly not value over there. He's working the other way.
I don't follow.
The question over here is, how does money work when you buy land? I gave you a dollar, well, and you feel it cost $1,000.
Yeah, but why did they bring in Avraham? Avraham paid in full.
I understand. That's just that's what happens to be factually what happened. I'm trying to explain to you what the Taz is saying. He's saying, look at the Gemara. Where does the Gemara learn out that you use money for Kiddushin from? From Ephraim, right? From Ephraim, from Karka. That's from Avraham. That's the case of Ephraim, right? So now you see that there's some analogy between money that's used for Kiddushin and money that's used for land. Right? There has to be some similarity. When I use money for Kiddushin, am I using it for value? Can't be. Oh, if it can't be value over there, then it's not value by Karka either. You're looking at it going, what happened? What actually happened by Avraham, and therefore what must it be by Ishus? Taz is saying, no, since it works by Ishus, I know it can't be value, and therefore in case of Karka, it's not value. It's Derech Nesina.
What are you saying? Avraham wasn't really paying full price?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's irrelevant, what he actually did. The Gemara just learns out from the Lashon that's used in the Pasuk regarding Avraham's acquisition of the field that Kesef works as a means of acquisition. Kicha kicha mistei Ephraim, the Gemara says.
Yeah, well, how else is he going to acquire the field?
Right, so since the Lashon over there is kicha, since the Lashon is kicha over there, since the Pasuk uses the language of taking, and over here the Lashon that the Pasuk uses in terms of ki yikach ish isha is the same, so the Gemara says, oh, you see that kicha over there means money, so too over here kicha means money. So the Taz is saying, you see there's money there, money there. Money here can't mean shivoy, can't mean shavius, because you're not paying towards the overall shavius of the isha. Oh, if that's the case, then so too by karka, can't be any different.
So once you put down payment down, then you're like full owner.
Well, in that last case, once you pay a little bit, you're the full owner, and there's a chov. Yeah, there's an obligation to pay the rest. You own it, and there's an obligation to pay the rest. But why is that? Why are you the full owner? Are you the full owner because you began to pay towards the ultimate value? Or are you the full owner because you made a mice opinion? That's the question. That's machlokas here, how Kesef works in this case. What did you do when you gave me Kesef? Did you begin to pay off the value of the land and that's why you're the owner now? Because you engaged in what we call haschos piron? They say no. It's not that you gave me haschos piron. You did a mice kinyan. Just like you would if I would have given you a shtar, or would do a kinyan sudar, or chazaka, it's the same thing.
With no money, yeah.
Even without money, right. Even without money. Just use a handkerchief. Taz is no different.
But, I mean, the seller wants the money. It's not just...
Right, but I'm saying the fact
that... The buyer is happy to say, okay, now I'm the private owner.
I understand. Everyone's agreeing that the money's owed to the buyer.
To the seller.
To the seller, right. To the seller, sorry. The question is, when I gave the $1, what did I do? Did I begin paying the seller? Is that what I did? Or did I just engage in a formal act of kinyan? So why am I bringing this up? I mean, besides, because you asked this, right? You asked how the money works. But I think this question plays a big role in how you understand these other cases in Matana Amanas L'Hachzir. The Rosh's question, right? Maybe we'll have to save the rest of the Rosh's question for tomorrow. And it goes to your question also. What's the difference between a loan and a Matana Amanas L'Hachzir? The Rosh and the Tshuva goes to great lengths to distinguish the two.
Because of the child.
He says a loan is worse. Right, he says a loan is worse. But the case was that there were two brothers. One brother lent the other brother a ring, and the other brother tried to use the ring as a means of kiddushin. Tried to make a kaddish woman with a ring. Whose ring was it? It wasn't his ring. It was the brother's ring.
But it doesn't start out with the same. I'm lending this ring to you. That's Al-Manasla Hafzir.
No, that's known. That
was the sentence was missing from my mind.
That was the understanding.
Oh.
The understanding was that this was given to him, it was lent to him.
So then it was not owned by the brother who wanted to marry. So there was no marriage.
Okay, so he goes through those possibilities, but what I'm trying to say is like this. let's look now at the case of the pigeon aben. The case of the pigeon aben, and gave the money to the kohen, right?
Almanas
lahachzir. So if I look at it like the Taz, that money works at least for karka. For someone, let's say, could translate it to this case as well. If I look at money in this case as kinyan, what would you say? It should for sure be okay, right? It for sure be okay.
What kind of kinyan is it?
No, I can't. No, but at the, when I did it, I engaged in the mice of kinyan.
You used the mice of kinyan on a loan.
It's my money. I give the coin, here's five slayim, this is yours.
Good, I'm
Shalom Yisrael. But I'm saying, if you just look at that as like an obligation and I have to do a mice of kinyan to redeem my child, then fine. If you look at it as a monetary obligation that I have to pay out, and it's the real piron, then maybe that's going to be subject to this question, how you look at kesef. If it's really piron, maybe payment doesn't work the way I'm an aslahavzir. I owe you a certain amount of money. If I owe you a certain amount of money, how can I give it to you on the proviso that I take it back?
That's right.
I'm not really giving you what I owe you. But if you look at it as a handshake, in the case of the Cohen, right? I owe the Cohen. Cohen wants to give me my son back for five slime.
Yeah, so give the money. You get your son.
But let's say he said, here's the money on the condition that you give it back to me. Matana amanas lachse. This is your money. Here are your five slime on the condition that you return them to me.
So now you're using those.
Gemara says that works.
My question is, is it a form of a kinyan, or is it just part of the payment? Is there for one more?
I'm just saying, if it's a kinyan, we can understand how it works.
If it's
a form of payment, now we have to dig a little deeper and try to understand. It seems a little difficult, right? How can you say I'm paying the guy back? Where's the payment?
Is it like a kinyan suda?
What do you mean?
That goes back and forth.
Kinyan suda really is mine. It's just that's a maisa kinyan.
Oh, so maybe consider it like a maisa kinyan.
If it's a maisa kinyan, then we understand that it could be good. And I understand how the coins got what he deserves. But if you tell me it's a real piron, right? If it's a payment, what I'm obligated to do is to pay him. Then I'm in trouble because where's the payment? I think we have to try to work that out a little bit further. I'd like to do this rush tomorrow. This chew of the rush. I don't know. I'm assuming the other guys are going to be here tomorrow, but even if they're not, we'll go through the chew of the rush. It's a very interesting case, and it's a kedai to go through it because he explains the difference between a loan and matana amanas lahavdir. It explains the fundamental difference in terms of how they work. Right, so anyone that wants to look at it or review it later, it's the rush over here in the tshuva. It's klal lamed hay, seif beis. I recommend you use this rush instead of that rush if you have the option of using one or the other, just because it's print is a little easier on the eyes. It's nicer print here, block print. I took it for myself. I'm sorry, but maybe tomorrow I'll make a copy of the tshuva. It's lamed hay beis. All right. But a lot of interesting cases here, a lot of practical stuff here.
You're saying you give the Kohen the five, whatever.
Five slime, here you five slime, give me back my kid, and the five slime come back to me. It's a win-win situation. What about the Kohen? Kohen's left empty-handed.
That's it.
If you say, I'm giving it to you on the basis that you're going to give it back to me.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Why should that be good?
The Gemara says it's good. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you look at it as a kinyan, if you look at it as just a form of a kinyan, so I did whatever I had to do.
In other words, symbolic.
You could call it symbolic. You know, it's symbolic in the sense that it shows that there's gemiras das, it shows the meeting of the minds, or that it's demonstrative of a kinyan. Just demonstrative that this is our agreement. Like the suda, like the handshake, whatever it is, the kias kaf, all those things, those are forms of kinyanim. They create hischaivos. So same thing over here. Well, I did what I had to do. Halacha imposed upon me some obligation to engage in some form of kinyan with the Kohen. I did it. But if you tell me what I had to do was pay him, how can you tell me I paid him? I gave him the money, I took it back, put it in my pocket? It's hard to understand. So that we have to try to explain. Because there is another theory out there in terms of how money works. Right? to say something?
No.
It's different.
Right? There's a different, pain is not just a Kenyan. The assumptions are just, paying money is just there's no difference between paying and Kenyan.
No, I mean, you see that the Taz is making a distinction between Kenyan and Piralin. I mean, the Sma says you can't look at this as just a form of a Kenyan. If he says, if you give money towards the field and you say, and you think it's just a Kenyan, it's not good. You have to view it as part of the Piralin. So you have to view it as real payment towards the value. If it's not that, if you think it's just formal act of Kenyan, no, it's not going to be good.
So the question is, when I'm paying you full,
you're paying me for something.
Fully, then
right, you pay me fully.
The same thing.
You pay me fully, so what have you done? Have we just exchanged the value, or do you just give me
the same thing? They just seem the same thing, so I don't know what the distinction is.
Right. You don't see this clearly in the case where you give me the full purchase price, you say. Still has the same question, why it works.
Right. Is it a Kenyan or is it...
Are you paying for value or is it just a form of a Kenyan?
In a full case, you can't distinguish. How can you distinguish the
Kenyan? I can still distinguish why it works. I can still say what about Kesef allows the Kenyan to take place.
Well, the Quran is the Kenyan.
The what?
The Kenyan is the Quran, the Quran is the Kenyan. So it's like the same.
What I'm saying is when money changes hands, why is it that you now own the object that's changing hands, that being in lieu of the money? Is it because you gave me the value of the object? Or is it because, no, there's an idea of Kenyan Kesef. I just required to use a certain amount. You see what I'm saying? The truth is, you have this same question. This comes up even when it comes to Shava Kesef. Machlokas in the Rishonah, how you know Shava Kesef? Is Shava Kesef a Svar or Shava Kesef going down from a Pasuk? So we said a number of times, and it's Rav Sherkin's idea, that what's the machlok is based on? Well, the machlok is based on is how you understand kesef. If kesef works because it's shavius, then Kenyan kesef is a svara. I mean, a shavi kesef is a svara. I don't need a pasuk to tell. If you tell me that kesef works because it represents value, then certainly shavi kesef works that represents value. But if you tell me Kesef is unique insofar as it has a special status called Kesef that works in the realm of Kinyanim, I don't necessarily know Shavu Kesef without a Pasuk. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a similar issue over here in terms of Karka. But now the question is in terms of the Kohen. If you tell me that Kesef is Piram, how did I give the Kohen his due? How did I give the Kohen Piram? All right, so we'll have to take that up. I also want to look at this rush. So, all right, a few questions up in the air. But hopefully tomorrow we'll begin to get a little bit more clarification here.